You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast for Saturday, December 8th. I'm Chris Manning, your host and the site manager over at fearthestore.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. If you aren't already, you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Spotify is a great one too. And a 5-star review, especially on Apple Podcasts, is the best way to support the show. You can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs, and you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWM Rights. And if you want written game coverage, go to Fear the Sword. We have trade updates, we have game recap, player grades, a whole bunch of great stuff. So go there for all your Cavs news and analysis. Today's show, funny enough, we didn't have much to talk about on Friday, so we skipped that show. But we're back today. I was just going to recap the game as normal, but a lot to talk into. So first, we're going to dive into the breaking news of the Cavs trading George Hill to the Bucks in exchange for Delly, John Henson, and picks. Also, the Wizards are involved, where Sam Decker is going to be headed to the nation's capital. And then we'll get into the loss to the Kings. The Cavs lose that one 129-110, the second game in a row that they gave up 129 points. But at least in the first half, they played hard, sort of like the Warriors game, actually. So let's look at this deal first. The Cavaliers in this deal, which came a couple hours before the game, really like an hour or 2 hours before the game, they get Matthew Dellavedova, John Henson. They get a first-round pick from the Bucks that could come in 2021, but probably won't come until after that due to the Eric Bledsoe trade that the Bucks did with the Suns. And they get a second-round pick from the Bucks in 2021. And then one from the Wizards in 2022. There are protections on that pick. Zach Lowe has a good breakdown of them on his Twitter page. You can go look up, but it's basically something they'll get, but it just is going to take a little bit of time. In this deal, the Bucks get George Hill. They get Jason Smith and a second-round pick from the Wizards. And then Decker goes to the Wizards, and as does the 2021 second-round pick that the Cavs got in the Korver trade that actually was the Wizards' pick originally. So, to recap, the Cavs get Delly, Henson, a first-round pick from the Bucks, a second-round pick from the Bucks in 2021, and a second-round pick from the Wiz in 2022. The Bucks get George Hill, they get Jason Smith, and a second-round pick from the Wizards. Decker goes to the DC to play for the Wizards, and the Wizards also get a 2021 second-round pick from the Cavs that was originally their pick that they traded to the Wizards. Kind of a complicated deal for George Hill being the biggest name player in the deal. So the Cavs did this deal because it's about assets. Number one, they're going to get that first-round pick. That is potentially, depending on what happens with Giannis' future in Milwaukee, what happens with their overall status as a team, that they're likely to get that first-round pick, and maybe it improves more than we think it will. Either way, it's a first-round pick that's a very valued commodity in the NBA, and it's either a trade asset for the Cavs to use, or it's a chance to draft a young player again in 2 to 3 years. That's a good thing to have, especially for a team that will still be likely, frankly, restocking at that point. They also get 2 second-round picks. That's a good thing for them. It gives them more ammunition during trades, and it restocks, again, assets that they had lost in the LeBron era. This is a continuation of the Korver trade. It is bumped up a notch, but it's a good thing. Now, are all those picks likely to result in good players? Not necessarily. But again, it's about restocking your cabinet of assets, giving yourself a chance to get better players. Getting Delly back is also, I think, a good thing and a good story. Number one, because he's beloved here. He was beloved by the franchise. He was someone that really endeared himself to the city. He wasn't playing with the Bucks. He had an ankle injury, and he hasn't been quite as good since he went to the Bucks. But number one, I believe he could still be an okay backup. Number two, I think it's really cool, again, to have this guy back in Cleveland, and it's really going to excite the fan base. I got a lot of texts about this in a way that I hadn't about basically anything else this year from friends and family that are Cavs fans. And number three, I think he's going to really help Sexton grow. Maybe he's not as going to be the savvy, or he's never been as good as George Hill, or be that type of mentor. But he's someone who is going to push him in practice, push him in in warm-ups, do things that are going to make him uncomfortable. It's something that really benefited Kyrie a long time ago when Dele was undrafted and Kyrie was the anointed savior of the franchise. It's a little bit of a different dynamic now. Dele is like 8 years older than Colin Sexton, but it's cool. And notably, I think it's like he's a good fit for this team because he does not need the ball on offense. So he's going to likely come in and be the backup point guard. And he's someone who's going to come in between Alec Burks, between Jordan Clarkson, play with Rodney Hood, play with other guys. And he's not going to need to dominate the ball. He can slide off ball. It's something he obviously did really well last time he was here. It's what made him attractive to Milwaukee, who has Giannis and Chris Middleton and et cetera, when they signed him after the 2016 finals, after he helped the Cavs win a title. He is going to, I think, fit well in that regard. He is signed through next year. The Bucks were trying to clear up cap space. That's another reason this deal happens. They did not want to pay him like $10 million next year. I think this is fine. I think it's a good story. It sucks that he has to wear number 18 because both the numbers he wore with the Cavs are taken currently by Clarkson and Channing Frye, 8 and 9, so he's wearing number 18. That's okay. It doesn't quite matter, but it's cool to have Dele back, and I think he's going to get a huge pop whenever his first home game will be, which I don't think he's going to play Saturday. It's been announced. I would be surprised if he played against the Wizards. So we're looking at maybe he actually debuts in Milwaukee on Monday, and then his home debut would be on Wednesday night at home against the New York Knicks if you're looking to get tickets for that game. As for John Henson, he had wrist surgery in November, and it's unclear exactly when he's going to be back. He's also signed next year at about $10 million. I don't see how he fits for the Cavs in a real way because they have Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, Larry Nance, Ante Zizic. If they get someone like Zion's going to play the four. He could be someone that at the end of the year, especially if he doesn't play the rest of the year, he just gets healthy. They flip him to a team that wants an affordable-ish big on an expiring contract to fill out the roster. That can make some sense. I think he's a flippable guy. I think that's a tradable contract. I think Dele's more likely to stick around than Henson. And again, maybe the Cavs trade Kevin Love and they just want to have him around as to fill minutes up front, but I think it's more likely he's also someone that gets traded. But we also just don't know when he's going to play at all. He had surgery about a month ago. No clue when he's going to get back. I'm talking to Eric Nem, who hosts the Locked On Bucks podcast, right for The Athletic in Milwaukee, trying to figure out exactly what's going on there. So as for what they got for Hill overall, this overall package, I think it's fine. He's functionally expiring. The Cavs got picks in return, which is their price for eating some salary for next season. This functionally kills the Cavs' cap space for the summer. That's fine. It's all you can really ask for, and it's what I would be doing if I was Kobe Altman. So I think Kobe Altman is on a good start with the Korver trade and now this in terms of what he's getting back. I also think it's fine to give up Sandecker. He was okay in some spots, did some things I liked, but wasn't blown away by him. He's obviously been injured for a while now, and I don't think he's someone that I would have been going on my way to give minutes to when he did come back, which seemed to be consumed. And I actually think D.C. is a good landing spot for him. I know he's from Wisconsin. It sucks for him that he's not going to get to go play in his home state, but I think he'd actually do play for the Wizards, and all the best to Sam. Also, the timing on this deal does matter. Because of it, when it happened, the Cavs are going to be able to aggregate salaries in this deal at the trade deadline, i.e. John Henson. And I think they're going to be doing more trades. Burks, Henson, Rodney Hood, although he has a no-trade clause. There's a lot of guys on this team that are tradable. It is inevitable. They're going to get more picks, maybe eat some more salary. I have a crazy one up there that is basically you combine J.R. Smith and Alec Burks' salary, trade him to Memphis. You eat the Chandler Parsons salary for next year, and you maybe get a pick out of that or two picks out of that. That's maybe not likely. I don't know how willing Dan Gilbert is to just eat $24 million for two draft picks that maybe don't turn into anything or something like that, but that's the kind of stuff you could do. And that's why the aggregating of the salaries matters, because it allows you to eat bigger contracts or at least combine them in different deals. Now, this has been officially announced. So again, we don't know when these guys are going to play. Hill seemed to tell Joe Varden that he didn't think he would take his physical until Monday in Milwaukee. So I think it's likely Dele makes his Cavs debut weirdly in Milwaukee. And again, the Cavs are punting on cap space for next year. If I was to give a grade on this, I would give this deal, and I think it's like a B+ for the Cavs. I think it's something that has value for them. I think it's something that gets them Dele. It's a fun story. Is it, you know, perfect by any stretch of the imagination? You know, no, but I also think for what the Cavs are, I think it's fine. I think it's reasonably like a decent thing. And if you want to look at what's, you know, to come here, I think it just sets the table for more trades. And I think at least Dele fits in a way. It's not as if, you know, Dele is not someone who doesn't fit, who isn't going to kind of come in and fit. Hence, it doesn't quite matter that much in my mind. So this is a good thing. I'm a big fan of this deal for a variety of reasons. We're going to take a quick break. You're actually going to hear from Colin Sexton, talk a little bit about Dele and about the trade, and then we're going to come back, talk about the good things from the Cavs' loss to the Kings. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavaliers.
What do you know about Matthew Dellavedova?
Everybody says he's a real good guy, a real good locker room guy. We lost George, which was my bet, so I'll have to talk to Dellavedova, and he'll be able to lead me like how George led me, so.
Colin, in what way did George help you the most?
He helped me the most just like preparing for the game and how I should come to each game. Pretty much like knowing that other teams scouting report and knowing what they're going to do, just making sure that you go out there and execute. That was about it, pretty much. And he's just a great guy to talk to and lean on since day one. With me coming off the bench, and he helped me starting a role. So he was a big influence on me.
Your teammates like to say that you practice hard. Have you heard about how Dele goes
on practice? I can't wait. I can't wait. They say he practices hard too, so we're going to have some battles.
Yeah,
I really hate it. We'll see what's up.
And we are back on the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. So the Cavs, again, did lose to the Kings, but I think there are some good things to come from this. I thought Colin Sexton, who I think at 23 points played a decent first half. He did a decent-ish job of getting his shots off, of getting some spots he liked, of making De'Aaron Fox, who was very, very good in this game, maybe the best player on the floor, have to defend him, have to react to him, and that was something that I think was a good sign for him. We'll get into some really bad things for him in this game, but I did like that he at least had some good offensive moments. Colin Sexton, even when he plays bad, is at least doing things that I think are encouraging. And for him, for a guy that more and more is going to be asked of him, more and more is going to be made of what he does, this was a really good thing. So kudos to Colin Sexton, at least for that part of his night. Jordan Clarkson, you know, not the most well-rounded night, but look, the guy's offense kept the Cavs in the game. Him and Sexton's big first halves were really the reason the game was tied at 66 all at the half after the Cavs trailed by double digits early in this game. That's where his value comes from. He also showed, I think, some really nice patience and some flow at the end of the first half to read how the Kings were defending him and to get off the type of shot that allowed him to make a three at the buzzer before the half to tie the game at 66. Kind of fades in this game a little bit. Had a couple shots that were, let's say, ill-advised, including a three he airballed. But, you know, the offense for him is just, it does come very nice. I think he's been a better three-point shooter this year than I would have imagined he would have been. I got to look at the percentage on that. But he has just been someone, at least late, that I think it's still a little bit of empty numbers. It's still a little bit of production that I don't think holds up in a context of a really good team. And you know, his three-point shooting is down a little bit, although I would like to see actually what it is over a recent stretch. But it feels like at least he's doing some things that are useful, even though I don't like love that he only has one assist, right? And that he, you know, in terms of point guards in the NBA, the only point guard worse according to defensive RPM is Trae Young. So there are some issues there for sure, but his offense in the first half is the only reason this game is tied at half. It's on him and Sexton. Alec Burks, look, an all right night for him. Good rebounds, had some assists, shot 8 of 14 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3. He's not really trying on defense, which is like an overall problem for the Cavs, but he's at least getting some looks. I don't know quite what all of the right pairings are going to be with this team going forward with Dele coming in. I think he's kind of a guy that makes sense to play with Dele in bench units. I think him and Clarkson sort of do could kind of carry some things together, at least in a vacuum, according to this roster. I think he's certainly a guy that could, I would expect to be traded, frankly. And this is a good trade value showcase for him. He just does some things that are useful. Don't know how much he helps like a really good team, but he at least has these solid nights. And the Cavs count on him, like they can count on Jordan Clarkson to at least create shots. And that certainly has value. That is something that I think in this NBA, in this league, in a sport that, you know, you need guys that can do this. And the Cavs, need, in terms of their offense, don't like have a modern or snappy ball movement heavy offense. They need guys that can do this. And Burks can at least get shots off. That has value. Larry Nance, I thought, continued to at least look okay. 4 or 5 from the field, 7 boards. So not his like overall best game. The Kings bigs, I think, overall did outplay the Cavs group in this game. But Nance, there's some stuff in Nance's game that to me is intriguing coming out of this one. First, he had some good offensive moments. He had a nice drive. I believe it was either on Kufis or Nemanja Bjelica, where he kind of made him take his three-point shot seriously, drove in, drew the foul. Stuff like that and how he looks more comfortable as a passer on the perimeter and at the elbow. In terms of his ability to create from those positions, it's not good necessarily yet, but it's encouraging. He's going to keep getting opportunities to do this stuff. I think he's getting better at it. I want to kind of dive into that a little bit more and see what the stats say, see what the eye test sort of says. But I think it is for him getting a little bit better. I think he's looking more comfortable. And for him, that's a positive thing. He was in a rough spot to start the year. He was a guy that was not playing particularly well. I think there's stuff in his game that is at least encouraging. Even in a loss like this, I think that drive in particular to me will be one of the plays that stands out because he looked comfortable-ish putting the ball on the floor. And for me, this season, more about wins and losses, more about maybe even some of the longer season trends. And maybe these even out, but I think some of these little moments are what I'm really looking for. And that's certainly one of them. And look, the first half, I thought this group did at least show some fire. Coming back from that early double-digit deficit was something they might not have done a couple weeks ago. So they get kudos for that. And look, the loss does drop them into the top 3 for lottery odds. They're up there with Phoenix, who's just an absolute disaster. If you're frustrated by the Cavs, just be grateful you're not watching the Suns all the time. And the Hawks, who are very bad too. So that's not a bad thing. The Cavs kind of need to be near the top of that draft. It's going to benefit them more than these wins. I can understanding them wanting to be competitive. I think the losses will continue to grate on guys as the season goes on and trades and stuff. And we'll see what the mood on this team is like at the end of the year. I don't necessarily think it's going to be, you know, bubblegum and sunshine. But I think realistically that the best path forward for this team will be to maintain those lottery odds. So we're going to update those all the time here. Tankathon.com is a great way for you to go do that. It's the resource I use. So go do that and check out what's where their lottery odds are at. But they're top 3 right now. It means they have an even chance as number 1 pick because of the smoothing of the lottery odds. So that's where they're at right now. We're going to take another break here from some more sponsors. And you're going to hear what Tristan Thompson had to say about finding out that guys were going to be traded just a little bit before the game and what that impact might have been. And he says goodbye to George Hill in a fun way, too. So stay tuned for that, and then stay tuned for more Locked On Cavaliers.
Tristan, how does the news of a few teammates being traded a couple hours before the game affect the locker room and you guys on the court?
It's kind of draining at the end of the day, you know, because especially if it's your teammates, you know, G Hill, you know, the veterans have grown a good relationship with him, and Collins learned a lot from him. So, you know, having a guy like that getting traded is you know, definitely sucks, but, you know, he's gone to, a good situation in Milwaukee, being the backup for Bledsoe, playoff team. So that'd be good for him, and it's good for his peak deal because they got to pay him a bonus if he makes the playoffs. So it's good for him. Good for you, Gio.
All right, and we're back for the last segment of today's show, which is the bad from the Cavs' loss to the Kings. We'll start with the Rodney Hood news. We don't know exactly how serious the injury is yet, but he did leave the game with a foot injury. We don't know exactly, again, what it is, how long it's going to keep him out or anything like that, but this isn't great. He desperately needs to get into a groove, and this obviously doesn't help. I do not believe the Cavs are going to have shoot-around on Saturday. It's not typical they have one after a game like that, so the earliest that the Cavs are going to update his status is going to be on, that would be a pregame, so about 5:45, if you're looking to kind of pay attention, that's sort of when I would look to see if, you know, Larry Drew says anything about his pregame availability. But didn't look to be super serious based on how he's acting on the bench, but notable that he did not come back. And sucks for Hood, who just really could desperately need to get into a groove. And this is not going to help him. Colin Sexton, no way around it. Disaster on defense right now. According to ESPN's Real Plus Minus, he's 89th amongst 92 possible point guards in defensive RPM. Again, Clarkson's 91st, so there actually is someone on the roster that rates out worse for him in that particular statistic. This isn't surprising. He's a rookie point guard. Young players, particularly young guards, typically negatively impact teams just because they have to figure things out. Colin Sexton is not the exception to that rule. He had no idea how to defend De'Aaron Fox in that game. Fox was manipulating him with speed, manipulating him in the pick and roll over and over and over again. Fox forced Sexton into bad spots, and it happened over and over and over again. This is just one of those games where you see what happens when a guy makes that year one, year two leap. On the broadcast, I know Austin Carr was talking about how he thinks like a year from now, Sexton could look a lot like Fox, and that certainly would be a really, really good thing. Fox went from being kind of a mildly interesting guy to someone who really blossomed into a potential star, a potential cog for what the Kings are and what he could potentially be in the NBA. That's where the Cavs had to hope happen with Sexton. And maybe a year from now, he's doing that through some other rookie point guard, but you just saw what a year in the NBA allows you to develop in this game, and you just saw how far Sexton has to go still on the defensive end. He just has no real idea, I think, what to do in that end right now. Delly is going to benefit him in this way, I think, will make him work. And for me, that it's not something I expect to get better immediately, but it's something I would watch over the next few weeks and just see where he kind of handles, because he has some good defensive moments. The instincts, I think, are sort of there as much as they can be for a guy who doesn't really exactly know how to play defense, but he's going to get there. At least that's the hope. I would just say his worst moment in this game, he was guarding Justin Jackson, the Kings wing, at one point, and he was in the left corner and the one end of the floor. Did a really bad closeout. Didn't really like corner Jackson in a way that like cut him off or made him give up the ball or anything like that. He just kind of half went there. So Jackson just drove baseline, pulled up, got an easy two-pointer. And then what Sexton does is he tries to make up for it in one play. So he rushed into a long two on the other end. Has to be more patient. Has to kind of slow things down a little bit and be a little bit more mindful, I think, of his scenarios if he's going to kind of nick that. Like, for me, I think when we know Colin Sexton will have figured out the game and become more comfortable in the flow of the game is when he just isn't so bajillion miles an hour on everything he tries to do and when he doesn't try to make up things in one play. That to me, will be, like, the indicator that Colin Sexton has kind of figured it out a little bit more. Jetty Osman is the other, I think, guy in a bad place right now. He aimed a three-point shot in the second half. It looked visibly frustrated after it went in and out. His shot just isn't falling. He was off on defense in this game as well. Jetty is just in a spot where he just isn't quite playing at the level you would hope. He just looks, again, really frustrated. And he had some good plays in this game. He had a particular finish that I thought was nice. He had a really nice read of an errant pass that showed some good awareness and showed some really good help side defense, stuff that he can be good at. But his stat line in this game, 4-13 from the field, the 1-6 from three, those two numbers kind of tell you what has really plagued him of late. The shot just hasn't looked crisp. The form is inconsistent. The when it doesn't fall, he's clearly getting frustrated. This is a rookie, young player thing. Obviously, this is his first full real NBA season. There's maybe some kind of wall he's hit. I think that injury had really kind of threw him to a loop, and he it's something that even I'm a Jetty optimist, and even when you looked at what he was with it when just thriving for the Turkish national team, he wasn't really like necessarily making shots when he was making strides in place for them too. So that's like a thing that just maybe isn't part of his game, which is a concern, but. We'll see where this goes. We'll see where he can get better. For the year, The two-point shot is something that is killing him. And at the rim, I think that's particularly been the brutal thing. It's still like around 50%, which is not good. And for the year on three-point shots, he is shooting 32.1% on almost five attempts per game. So the two-point shooting is like some much worse. And he's shooting like a lot more per game at like almost, you know, almost 11 shots per game. That's a lot for a guy that's kind of in his first NBA season. So like that's part of this too, I think. And the Cavs don't have space for him. Like, they're playing two big lineups. They're playing not guys that teams don't take seriously and yada, yada. But the three-point shot is the thing that will really kind of help him take a next step as a player. I want to see if he can just kind of even that out a little bit, because he's going to get the looks. He's going to keep taking them as he should. But he looks really frustrated right now. And that's fine for a young player, but there's got to be a light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm curious to see when and how that sort of realizes itself. And if that's soon or if that's down the line. Defensively, just overall, the Cavs have no shot. None. I don't know how it gets better. They don't have good defenders on this team. Tristan is a really smart defender, a good defender, but you saw in this game, like, he cannot make up for deficiencies in the pick-and-roll coverage when the guards have no idea what to do and are just letting penetration happen and letting easy rolls happen. Switching doesn't work for this team because they just don't communicate well. The guys don't always know where to go. They're not used to doing that yet. It's just not something that like really works for them. You know, the zone obviously didn't work. That was a disaster when they really were trying that, and they're not really doing that much now, if at all. You're playing a lot of guys that just aren't going to be good defensively. Like, you know, Tristan is, I think, a good defender. Nance is a good-ish defender. He's probably a little below Tristan in my esteem. I'd kind of get to check the RPM on that, but he's at best kind of just fine. You know, Jetty's not a good defender really at this point. Hill when he was on the team was not really like trying that hard on defense. Like, Sexton's obviously bad. Hood's not a good defender. I don't think Burks is really trying on defense. That's just the reality of this group. And like, Dele's gonna come in and he's gonna try, but like, he's not gonna make your defense good. The guy that I think could help the defense and at least prop it up with at least smart rotations and things is David Nwaba. Missed another game on Friday night due to knee soreness. I don't know when he's coming back. At least if you could able to play him, he could at least guard guys and make them work and rotate and help in that regard. He's not going to make them a good defense, but he'll at least make them the bleeding a little bit more tolerable. Maybe that's all I can ask for right now. This is just a disastrous defense. I think there are ways the offense could become salvageable and a little bit more productive. And it's not even, I think, one of the worst five in the league the last time I checked, which is in itself kind of nuts. But the defense is just egregiously awful, and there's no way it's getting fixed. This game, they were just manipulated by tempo, manipulated by pick and roll. Every way the Kings wanted to score, they could, and there's not really a fix for that. And look, Tristan in this game was not really his impactful self. The Cavs, again, did not do well with the Kings' bigs for whatever reason. The glass dominance wasn't there. He wasn't really capable of covering these defensive issues. That's not all on him. That's a lot on the people in front of him. But, you know, it is what it is. And only six rebounds for Tristan just isn't much. You know, Fox had a lot of rebounds. Kufus came in and had a nice game off the bench for them. But not a particularly good game for Tristan. And when he's not playing, you know, as well as he can, I think it impacts sort of what the Cavs are doing a little bit. But overall, this was another game where they played well-ish in the first half. I think tie game really responded well after getting that early hole and then really fell off. And that's not encouraging. It sucks. It doesn't necessarily feel good for these guys, I think, to lose that way. But that's the reality of kind of where they're at right now. It's not a team that knows how to string together a good play. They're going to hopefully learn from this, and that's really all you can ask. They are going to be thrown right into the gauntlet tomorrow. The Wizards aren't like world beaters, but you know, they're not necessarily like a dumpster fire as much as they were earlier in the season either. But tough loss to the Kings, who are obviously playing well this season and everything. But for the Cavs, that this is a tough loss. And again, to give up 129 points two games in a row, That's a tough look for that group. So that is going to be it for today's show. Again, the Cavs' big news is not the loss. It is that Dele's coming back to the Cavs. They got picks in this deal, a three-team deal with the Bucks and the Wizards. You can read all about that at fearlessword.com, and we're going to talk more about that on the pod in the coming days and weeks, I'm sure, as this is really, again, just a continuation, the Kyle Korver trade, the George Hill trade. There are more dominoes to fall here. We're going to be back on Sunday morning, late Saturday night, recapping Cavs-Wizards. And then on Monday, we're going to do that mailbag that we were going to do Friday, but timing just didn't work out. So if you have questions you want answered in the next mailbag, you can submit them to @LockedOnCavs on Twitter or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. There is also a post over on r/CavsCleveland. I will link to that in the show notes if you want to drop your questions there. And again, a 5-star review on iTunes guarantees your question gets answered. So all you got to do, leave the review on iTunes or aka Apple Podcasts. You can either drop it in there and I'll check it, or you can send a screenshot of it to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com and make sure I see it. Again, at Fear the Sword, we have full trade coverage. Jeff Stiegel is going to be writing some great stuff about the Cap this week, and there's going to be a whole lot more coming soon. So again, the Cavs lose to the Kings, 129-110. Delly, John Henson, and picks are coming to Cleveland in a three-team deal. This has been Locked On Cavaliers for Saturday, December 8th. I'm Chris Manning. Find me on Twitter and Facebook @CWMWrites. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a good one. Cheers.